Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines, and so awesome with Matt and Jeff, the Hardy Boys. We say hello now to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN. Greg, I'm sorry, you have to follow the Hardy Boys.
I know. You might as well just delete me based on that sequence. I will say my favorite recent Hardy Boys highlight was without question when Jeff joined Matt in AEW and he debuts, his music hits, Matt's getting destroyed in the ring, and Jeff, on his way to save his brother, stops in the aisle to dance to the theme song before running all the way to the ring to save his brother. It was just like priceless. That's wrestling right there.
It was good, and they just told a great story about the whole broken angle and coming up with that. So it was. We just spent an hour with them. It was awesome. So
that's awesome.
Really fun there. The Olympic break is almost here. The Predators play in Washington tonight against the Capitals after a crazy overtime loss last night against Minnesota. I'm going to just throw my theory out at you. Now that we got the news that Barry Trotz is going to retire, there's going to be a new general manager. They hope to have him placed by the draft, and then he will retire. With the as close as the Preds are, I know all logic should tell you not to, but should they just go for it at this point?
Like become buyers at the deadline?
Well, not like overbuy, like not give up the farm and a ton of prospects, but you know, if there's a piece that Barry could add that he thinks would put this team over the hump, should he do it and therefore at the same time hang on to some assets that maybe he should move off of?
Well, it's an interesting theory because, like, obviously what we're looking at here is some additional playoff revenue, which is nothing to sneeze at, which is some valuable playoff experience for the younger players on the roster, which is important. And you always have to try to be in it to win it. You never know what's going to happen, although I think ultimately – what will happen is someone will get their teeth kicked in by the Colorado Avalanche in the first round if you get the second wild card spot. But your theory's not terrible because it does reward the players in the roster for all they've done in the last 2 months to make this season interesting. And the alternative is allowing what is now a lame duck general manager the opportunity to trade some of the more important pieces from this roster, which theoretically should be the responsibility of the next guy if that in fact is still the direction they want to go with this roster.
I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry. I totally forgot my question.
Ask him a Hardy's Boys question.
I know. I'm still I got the swan time.
That's all right. So, Greg, I'll do it. The Nashville Predators have won 26 games, and I think they have trailed in 17 of those. Is that correct? They've been behind either a goal or two goals. This hockey team is fun to watch, Greg, because they get down and their comebacks. Last night was an exciting game. Monday night, they were down 2-1, 5-2, whatever. This hockey team is fun to watch because I think they're psychotic.
That's a good word for it. I mean, like, right. Yeah, the resiliency they've shown, the game that happened after Barry's announcement where they make that crazy comeback, like, it's fun. And again, you know, that's when we think about the conversations the three of us were having back in, say, like December. And now we think about the conversations we're having at the Olympic break. Like it's night and day, and it's completely unanticipated that this season would turn out to be fun. It may not turn out to be a playoff season. The West is a real meat grinder, and there's still some teams that are around Nashville and behind Nashville that could still maybe make a run. But ultimately, it certainly is a season that you can feel better about. And to me, like, to go back to your original point, Chase, like, you know, part of the making the playoffs is also trying to maybe get some good vibes cooking for next season. You know, there's going to be regime change at the top. There'll probably be some new people on the roster. But you want to be able to build a little bit of positive momentum going into next season. And certainly being in the playoff conversation does that.
Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN. You and I texted a little bit after Barry broke the news or the news had come out and before the press conference. But one, how surprised were you? And two, you know, what do you think I know there's going to be interest in this job, but how is this job viewed in league circles?
Your second question is a really intriguing one because I don't know the answer. I mean, you know, the stock answer is that there are only 32 of these jobs, so beggars can't be choosers, and you know, it's going to attract a lot of interest from a lot of people. I think ultimately it's an organization that you want to be a part of. I mean, I think it's ascendant. I think the fan base is great. I think the community is great. Jury's out on the owner just because we haven't had him for this long of a stretch as a hockey owner. But you know, the executives above the general manager, I think, are good ones, Sean Henry in particular. So I think it's a job that a lot of people would want. I was shocked by it, to be honest with you. I mean, the idea of announcing something like this early in the season is kind of jarring. Like I said, you know, we're not even at the trade deadline yet, and we have a guy that's not going to be in the job after, you know, June, making calls at the trade deadline and you know, kind of being the steward of this franchise. You know, I, the other shocking part to me was the news that as long as it's legal within the confines of the NHLPA, which we don't know yet, the news that they hired CAA to lead the search. That probably tells you it's going to be an external candidate that gets the job. And it's an interesting vetting process because I do think that they're going to get people that have GM experience. They're going to have people that are, you know, rock stars as assistant general managers, and there might be some other people outside the box that they consider as well.
Greg, Sean Henry comes on with us all the time, and because you just heap praise on him, he's going to have Chase cut a promo where you're lavishing praise on him. So thanks for that extra work for Chase. Appreciate that.
I think Sean's brilliant. Like, you know, you think about all the Smashville stuff and all the success that this team has had in cultivating a, you know, more fans and building a good business. Like, I think that directly leads back to Sean. So I'll shine him. I'll put him over.
I like that. You know, it's funny, Greg, about this run the Predators have been on. We've gone from the first 2 months, fire Brunette, get rid of Brunette, to now nobody talks about it. Can we talk about the job that Brunette has done maybe in a positive light to kind of turn this around and have these guys in contention for the playoffs?
Sure. And I think that the word we used before, fun, When an Andrew Brunette team is doing the things that it needs to do to make his system work, it's fun. You know, like the way that the Florida played when he was down there, the way that the Devils played when he was an associate coach there. You know, when things are clicking, you know, it's the kinds of teams that can erase deficits and feel like they're never out of a game offensively. Like, this is kind of the vision that Barry had when he hired him, which still is kind of jarring to think that one of the most strident defensive coaches of the last 20 years was the guy being like, we need the offensive guy. But like, this is kind of the thing that Brunette has shown he can do when his teams are playing up to their standards and executing the system that he plays. And I think that you can't discount his contribution in making this season as fun as it's been.
Absolutely. Soros is driving me crazy. And we talked about it last week about how he's got to step up. But, I mean, just there are a couple goals that just like, you can't give those up. And it's frustrating, Greg, to a point because the team is playing, having to play comeback and win these games. It'd be nice if they didn't have to do this. But how important is it, we said this last week, that Soros has to play like an elite goalie for this hockey team to get to the playoffs?
I mean, it's essential, and I think the problem is that we just have not seen enough of it this season. I mean, if you go by the metrics of Money Puck, which tracks a stat called goals saved above expected, i.e., how is the team playing in front of the goalie and how many pucks should the goalie stop, he's at minus 13 on the season. That's pretty bad. That tells you that the team in front of him is doing a decent job, but he is not playing up to the standards that the stats indicate he should be playing up to. So, I mean, listen, goaltending is the key to the sport. The teams that get it are going to contend. The teams that don't are going to flail. And so if they have any chance of trying to grab a wild card spot in this conference, it's going to have to be Soros that turns this thing around after the Olympic break.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. Now that Artemi Panarin has been dealt to L.A., what's the next big trade, and do you see anything happening? Is today the freeze when the roster freeze starts?
No, the freeze was yesterday. That's why they had to get the Panarin thing in under the wire. Yeah. First off, the Panarin trade is just fascinating. I mean, I called around last night to some people that have knowledge of it. it seems like basically he wanted to go to Florida. Florida couldn't make the cap situation work because they have to keep space open for Barkov to come back. Artemi and his family then said it's L.A. And then all these teams that were in the hunt for him were basically told, try to convince him to not go to L.A. And so they came with, like, big money offers and everything else, but ultimately they couldn't shake the visions of Hollywood, and he signs that two-year extension with the Kings. Now that he's off the board, I'm looking at Calgary. You know, I'm looking at two players on Calgary. One, Blake Coleman, who everybody remembers as being part of those those Tampa Bay Lightning Cup teams, a really valuable down-the-lineup forward, but a guy who's sort of a Swiss Army knife. He could do a lot of different things for you and score goals and play in defensive situations. And then, more importantly from Calgary, is Nazem Kadri. Now, Kadri is a guy that, you know, won a cup in Colorado. He is a quintessential second-line center on a championship-level team. He scores, he can play defense, and most of all, he plays with the kind of edge that you need in the playoffs. There had been some talk about Calgary not wanting to give him up. I've you know, heard kind of tangentially that maybe that's changed a little bit, and maybe he's open to the idea of playing someplace else. If that's the case, then I think he's going to be a player in very high demand as we get closer to the trade deadline.
Well, going to be interesting towards the deadline, but hey, the next few weeks we get to talk some Olympic hockey, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and for us and, you know, on the East Coast and folks in the Central Time Zone, like, these times, these starts over in Italy are great, man. Like, they're very, very nice, including the gold medal game, I think is at like 8 o'clock or something on a Sunday, East Coast time. So kegs and eggs for the gold medal game. It's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. And by the way, the league has just announced that Washington will open the game with a 2-0 lead tonight against the Predators. So we'll see how that works. But Greg, appreciate the time as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime.
Awesome. Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN. I kid.
You too, pal.
I appreciate him. We'll react to everything. We've had a fun show so far here at Bar Lines at the Omni National Hotel on 102.5 The Game.